Amen. Well, it's just a great time in the presence of God. Amen. It's just great to open our hearts and allow God to speak to us and to touch us in a wonderful way. We've been talking about grace this year. That's our theme for this year, is Amazing Grace. And I just really want to bless Lewis. Where's Lewis gone? For what you shared this morning. This really flows in with what we're talking about today. But the heart of grace God has for us, it always does overwhelm me the more I reflect upon grace. How God's just such a wonderful God, and that He loves us so much, He overwhelms us by His grace. I'm going to talk this morning about, remember, we're looking at grace this year. We're looking at three aspects of grace. One is experiencing grace and knowing the salvation, saving grace, and how wonderful it is to become a Christian, to become a believer, to know the grace of God in your life, to give your heart to Christ, the wonder and glory of knowing Jesus Christ, a wonderful thing. And we've talked about experiencing grace, and extending grace, how that we can be gracious to one another in all our relationships, because we know that we're not perfect, and we know every day that God extends grace to us. Every day God is gracious to us, and so that we have the heart of extending grace to one another. And also about the enabling grace of God, that there's a grace that we can tap into, because we all face things that we cannot face on our own. We all have to deal with things that we cannot do on our own. And there's a grace that we can tap into that helps us and sustains us, that gives us incredible life. And so I want to talk about that aspect of grace, but particularly ministering grace, that we are actually ministers of grace. So you are a recipient of grace, but also every one of us is a minister of grace. And so grace has the aspect, it's the grace to be. It's because of His grace that we are who we are. But also He gives us grace to do, and it helps us that we may work and minister from grace. And so I want to talk about that aspect of ministering grace, and that all ministry, everything that we do serving the Lord, has got to start in grace. And when it doesn't come out of grace, when it comes out of something else, then we find that there's dysfunction, and then conflict or disheartenment, discouragement can come when we minister outside of grace. So all ministry starts in grace. And I want to look at a scripture. Now, on your bookmark, if you grab your bookmark out, because I want you to make a change on your bookmark. Grab your bookmark out. There's an error on your bookmark. So if you're going to grab that out of your newsletter this morning, the scripture reference we're looking at is 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 9 and 10. So that first scripture, that first reference on your, not the John 1:16, that's fine, but the one there that said 2 Corinthians, it's actually 1 Corinthians 15, 9 and 10. And we'll bring that scripture up on the screen, and so you can make that correction there. It's a scripture that says, "For I am the least of the apostles." That's actually 1 Corinthians 15, 9 and 10. And I apologize for that. The correct reference will come up on the screen. But change that on your bookmark. You don't want to have that wrong. So you will change that there. Get your newsletter and change that on the bookmark. Let's read that scripture. That's the scripture that we really want to look at this morning. And this is the Apostle Paul speaking. And he says, "For I am the least of the apostles, and do not even deserve to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace to me was not without effect, no. I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me." So, Father, we just pray, Lord, that this scripture, Lord, and as we look at this aspect of grace, Lord, that You'll open us that to us this morning, Lord, that we'll have a greater understanding, Lord, of who we are in You, Lord, but what You've enabled us to be because of Your grace in our lives. So, Lord, we commit ourselves to You now, in Jesus' name. Amen. It's quite a remarkable scripture, and Apostle Paul writing saying that he is the least of the apostles. Well, excuse me, other than Christ, Christ was the foremost apostle, as the scripture describes him, Christ the apostle. In Hebrews, I think chapter 3 around there, it talks about Christ the apostle. So Christ is the preeminent apostle, but probably you'd have to say that if you look in Christendom and the effect that Paul had, you'd have to say he is right up there with the apostles. But he says, "For I am the least of the apostles, and don't even deserve to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God." And we know that it was Paul who went around, and he went around in his zeal and his passion. He ran around how he went and rounded up all the Christians. He took the Christians, he threw them in prison, flogged them, beaten them. A lot of them got killed as well. And so Paul doesn't have a very good background when you look at Paul. Sure, he was highly educated and religious, zealous as a religious Pharisee. And you see all of those things that were an aspect of Paul and all his credentials. But the bottom line is that he was a pretty rotten guy, the way that he dealt. And that was murderously dealing with people, persecuting the church with a vengeance. And but it's an interesting word that he says. He says, I don't even deserve to be called an apostle. And just to think of it for a moment, well, what do we deserve? Do you deserve to be called a child of God? Well, no, I don't deserve to be called anything. If we all stood on our own merits before God, then none of us have deserve anything from God or in anything in any way. In fact, what we do deserve is punishment. That's really what we deserve. But that's what grace is. Grace amazes me. Grace is God's dealing with us in the way that not according to what we deserve. And he says, I don't deserve to be called an apostle. Well, we don't deserve even to be called the children of God, but it's because of his grace. It's because of the grace and because of the cross of Jesus Christ that we are the children of God. But he acknowledges that, yeah, look, I don't deserve it, but, and I love the word but. There's a great word but here right in the middle of the scripture. But he says with such a confidence, he acknowledges, yeah, I was pretty horrible. In fact, I was persecuting Christians and flogging them and beating them and throwing them into prison and all the things that he was doing. But he says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And that's such an incredible statement. See, a lot of people will come to the point and say, the first part of the verse here, I'm unworthy, I don't even deserve. And they live their life stuck in that first part of the verse. And they brand themselves in areas of failure upon their life. And that becomes their identification tag. They identify themselves by what they were. And some people lived terrible lives before they came to Christ, but they come to Christ and they're a different person. They're a new creation. And we've got to always understand we're not identified by our past. And Paul says that, yeah, sure, I don't deserve to be called an apostle because of what I did, but it's by the grace of God I am what I am. And if you've got nothing else for this morning, I pray that God drills this into your spirit. This gets drilled into your heart. By the grace of God, I am who I am. I am who I am by the grace of God. And it's by the grace of God that every one of us are who we are, that we are sons of God. We are called according to his purpose, that we are. It's by the grace of God, I am what I am. Just stand to your feet by this morning. I just want you to know that. What are you? Well, you are a son of the living God or a daughter of the living God, that you are righteous and holy because of the blood of Jesus Christ, that you belong to him. You're a child of the King. You're someone who has a destiny. You have a purpose. You have an inheritance. God's got a calling upon your life. God has called you not because of what you were, but by what he has made you and who you are now in him and in Christ. That is who you are. I want you to stand and say with confidence. Now, please don't say it like some sort of a brain-dead parrot. I want you to say it with a conviction. By the grace of God, I am who I am. You are a son and daughter of the living God. So I want you to say it. By the grace of God, I am who I am. By the grace of God, I am what I am. By the grace of God, I am what I am. Amen. Do you believe that? Praise God. Okay, let's sit down just for a moment. By the grace of God, I can just imagine Paul saying that, yeah, sure, I was this and I was that, but by the grace of God, I am who I am. And when you begin to say that, something stands up inside you. By the grace of God, I am. By the grace of God, not because of me, because I don't deserve it. I know what I deserve. We didn't know Christ, our life, but by the grace of God, I am who I am. And there's a confidence in that statement. There's almost like a posturing, a chest comes out, a rising. I am what I am by the grace of God. And yeah, he's humble. There's a humility. I'm the least of the apostles, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And so we are identified by what Christ has made us. You are not identified by your past. You are by you are. I am what I am by his grace. And you've got to be happy with the way that Christ has made you. Some people don't like themselves. They look in the mirror, I don't like this, I don't like that. But no, there's something in your spirit rises up and says, no, I am what I am by the grace of God. Something in the spirit stirs within our spirit. And so we're not identified by what we were. Don't go through your life saying, oh, look, I was this. I was a drug addict and I was this, or whatever you were, whatever your life was. That's not who you are. But I am who I am, what I am by the grace of God. That is our identification upon our life. There's something unique about you. You are a child of God. I love it when Moses spoke to, Moses was saying, well, look, who should I say sent me? Who are you? Who do I say? And God says, I am. I am. And that's God, the name of God. And it's almost when he says, I am what I am, it's like saying, I got that aspect of God in my life. It's by his grace I stand by him within my life. I am what I am in my life. And so we are accepted because of the cross of Jesus Christ. That is who we are. And so don't go through your life identifying yourself by failure. You are who you are by the blood of Jesus Christ because of the cross. That is where it all starts. And everything has to start in that place. All ministry has to come out of that. Paul was an almighty apostle, but he did not minister out of his failure. He did not minister out of a sense of guilt. Oh, look, I've destroyed the church. I was putting Christians in chains. I was throwing them, flogging them, beating them, doing all of these horrendous things. And because I was such a horrible person to the church, I need to now make it up to God and somehow turn it around and actually serve as if my service of God now is like a payment for what I did. There's no sense of that. But some people are like that. Some people think, it's payback time for God now. I'm going to serve because I owe him now because of my life. And now it's payback time. I'm going to serve him in some way. And if you ever serve God out of that, you're in trouble. You will not survive in that. That will not sustain you. If you were serving out of a sense of guilt and trying to make up to God or trying to do something or trying to be kind of ministry or service in your life, you will not cut it and you will not stay in it. And you'll always see people, why do so many people get enthusiastic and things at the beginning, but when the rubber hits the road, it's just the dwindling, it dwindles down. It's because some people, the reason that they serve or volunteer to do things or minister, it's out of a sense of trying to, well, this is what I was and now I'm trying to somehow pay it back or earn something in God. But that's exactly what Paul is not doing there. He's not doing this. He's not saying, oh, I was terrible, but now I'm going to serve God because I was terrible. He's saying, no, something happened in my life. I was this, but I apprehended the grace of God in my life. And I am who I am. I am a different person now. So I'm not ministering because of my past. I'm not ministering to make up for my past. I'm not ministering because I owe God or try to make up for it in some way. But no, I minister from a place, a position of grace. I stand in the grace of God, and therefore that is why I minister. That is why I work. And I encourage you that in your life, when you are involved in any sort of service and ministry, don't minister out of payback time for God, trying to make up for your past or trying to. That's the wrong basis of ministry, because you will get lazy. You'll do that. You'll be on a roster and, I've got to serve God because he's been so good to me and I owe him, and I want to, because he's been good to me, I want to be good to him. You will wane. You'll become unreliable because you're ministering out of a sense that's rooted in who you were, not ministering out of the sense of who you are now in Christ. That's what we minister from. That's why we serve from. That's why we love. That's why we give. That's why we do everything, because of where we are now, because we are who we are. I am what I am. That is the platform. That is the launching point. Our past isn't. It's the but. I am who I am. And that's why Paul ministered so effectively, because ministry always has got to come from that place of grace. If you want to be sustained in your service of God, it's not because of what you were, it's because of what you are and because of who you are in Jesus Christ. And so that's the platform for our ministry. We are who we are by his grace, not because of what we were. So whatever we do, it's not to earn anything from God. It's not to earn any favor from God. We minister from a place of grace, not that we might somehow get blessing or get good enough or get approval or get love or It's not about doing that. It's about I am who I am. Scripture here in Galatians 1:15-16. It'd be great if someone would get some water. I really appreciate it. Galatians 1:15-16. It says, "But when God, who set me apart from birth and called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his Son in me, so that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not consult any man." So it's God who set me apart from birth and called me by grace. The origination of his ministry was grace. Didn't originate from his background. He felt bad. He was a drug addict, so now he thinks I have to minister to drug addicts now. Well, praise God, that can be very effective, but that's not the reason to do it. The reason is because you're called to something, you're called by the grace of God, and it's his grace is the starting point. It was his grace that called Paul, not his past, but the calling of God. Everything originates from grace. Ministry always comes out of grace, and so we always need to understand and to have that heart. Thanks, Ronnie. Praise God. Also says in this passage, so everything starts with grace. Your existence really started with grace. The moment you came into the kingdom of God when you accepted Jesus Christ, that's really where everything started for you. That's when life began. That's when life had meaning. That's when there was purpose in your life. And it all started, all flows out of the grace of Jesus Christ extended to us upon the cross. He goes on and he says in this, he says, "By the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace to me was not without effect." So his grace was not without effect. It's interesting because maybe God can give us his grace, but it cannot have effect in our life. Does it mean that his grace means we're not saved? No. He's talking about the outworking of the grace in his life. Because some people will experience the grace. They come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, know him as a Savior, and then that's it. They've got all this grace. Their identification starts in Christ. Their life, their purpose, everything starts in salvation in Christ. But it says the grace he gave me was not without effect, which says to me that we can have salvation and be saved. And I'm not talking about salvation, but it's ineffectual in that there's no outworking of our life. We just enjoy the grace. I'm saved. Praise God. Come along to church and I enjoy the grace. Praise God. And I pray at home and I enjoy the grace, but I never serve, I never give, I never get involved, I never lead someone to Christ, I never share my faith, I never... And we can have the grace of God, but not having effect on our life. But Paul says, no, not me. He says, but the grace to me was not without effect. And why was that grace having an effect? Sure, it had an effect on him for salvation, but he's talking on an effect beyond himself. And he says, the grace of God and his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them. Now, it's interesting because remember, we've got to make sure that we don't get these things mixed up with grace, because here we're talking about grace and we're talking about working. Grace and working. Now, remember that we don't work to get grace. As it says in Romans 11:6, it says, "And if it is by grace, then it's no longer by works. If it were, grace would no longer be grace." So it's saying, when you're working in the kingdom of God, you're not working to get something. You're not working to earn something from God. Whenever you serve or do something, you're not doing it to get. But here's Paul saying, "We're hearing, hang on, there's grace in my life, and here I am working. I've got grace in my life, but I'm working." The difference is here is Paul is saying, I've got grace, and because of that grace, I'm going to now allow it to outwork in my life, because I am a minister of his grace. Every one of us are ministers of his grace. So we don't work to get the grace. If you try to do things to earn grace or earn favor or earn approval from God, well, that's not grace, is it? That's works. Anything that we are doing to earn or to get or to be loved or to be approved, to be accepted, then that's all works. And that's ultimately ends up in law and legalism and hard-heartedness and distance from God and all of those things. But if we start with the places, no, I am what I am by the grace of God. And his grace to me is not without effect, because no, I'm working now with that grace. In fact, I'm outworking that grace in my life. In fact, I'm ministering that grace in my life. That's what Paul is saying to us all. And I worked harder than all of them, yet not I. And so he doesn't fall into his own effort again, trying to just the hard slog of his own effort. But he says, no, yet not I, but by the grace of God that was within me. So it all starts with the grace of God. All right, this is the place. Identification of who we are. Sure, that was the past, but this is who I am now. And I have the grace of God upon my life. And it's not, and now out of that grace, I'm now going to work out that grace. I'm going to minister that grace for one another. And that's the way that we need to understand it. Not to get, but grace is always to give. 2 Corinthians 8:9 says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich." So you know the grace of Jesus Christ. So you know him. That though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor. So there's a giving out of grace. So we don't work to get, we actually work to give. Because we got it. We got grace. I am who I am by the grace of God. And therefore, from that basis alone, now can I begin to work out the grace and work hard administering that grace. And that's what God has called us to do. We're not working hard to be earning a favor, earning approval. Maybe God will bless me. Maybe God will answer my prayer. Maybe God will do this. Maybe this or that. Because you're going to get very discouraged and very disillusioned if our ministry is ever to get. But our ministry is always to give. And it always starts from that place of grace. By the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with him. So always knowing that, hang on, and we've got to be careful, because sometimes we can start in the place and then end up in human effort. And again, people who start in human effort, they're the ones who give up, they're the ones who quit. Because human effort will not sustain us, but the grace of God will always sustain us. And so we minister grace. Why do we give? Why are we generous when we give? It's because out of the grace of God, not because we're trying to earn or get or whatever. We're in the place of grace, so we give, we care for people, we love one another, because we come out of that strong place of grace. And so all real ministry is an outworking of grace. And so every bit of service that we do needs to flow out of that platform, out of that place of grace. So have a look at 1 Peter 4:10, and that will come up on the screen there, 1 Peter 4:10. Now it talks about every single one of us, so every person of us that are here today. It says each one, so none of us are exempted. If you know Jesus Christ today, that includes us, includes you, includes me, includes every single one of us. It says each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others. Now we've all got different gifts. Everyone is different. Everyone will express that. But every single person that is here, if you come to know the grace and the love of Jesus Christ, you're in his kingdom. There is the grace of God in your life waiting for you to outwork it. Not to be ineffective, that you just keep salvation for yourself. No, it's I'm going to work hard and I'm going to minister the grace that God has placed upon our lives. So each one, that's every one of us, should use whatever whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. Now think about it, administering the grace of God. So every one of us has gifts, and they're various gifts. They're all different gifts. So you can never look at someone and compare yourself to someone else, because yeah, they're in each one, but they've got a different gift from you. So we can never compare that, and we can never judge somebody. You can't look at someone and say, oh, they're not concerned for this, or they're not doing that. You can't do that, because they've got a different gift. There is a grace of God upon their life. The responsibility, though, of each of us as in each one is to work out that grace. Because it's not to be without effect in our lives. And people can live their lives, just living like everyone else in the world, do their bit, do their job, whatever, but never outworking the grace of God. But each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. It's interesting, you look at the word administering or administer, it actually means you're a steward. The word actually means a steward. So we are stewards of God's grace. Isn't that an amazing thing that we think, oh, God's grace is, we just got to keep tapping into God's grace. Well, God's grace, I see it always being poured over us. But we are actually being given and entrusted with the grace of God as a steward. And God wants us to faithfully administer that grace. What an amazing thing. God places, His grace is the greatest gift of all, which is expressed, of course, through Jesus Christ and His sacrifice on the cross, His death and resurrection. But He actually says, here's my grace, and I'm going to stick it in your hands. Now, it's in different forms. It looks a little bit different when it's in your hands and a little different in mine and someone else's hands. But you're a minister. You are a steward of the grace of God. And you just think of that for a moment. That God has called us, given us, we are who we are by the grace of God. Now He's made me a steward of that grace, and He wants me now to dispense it in different ways, and we're all different. But see, why that's why some people, though, do get discouraged and things, is because they don't understand that, and they think that they're doing something to get something. And see, if you're in the place of knowing I am who I am by the grace of God, I'm not looking for people to approve me. I don't need to need someone to say, oh, thank you very much, well done, thank you. Now, that's nice, and it's polite, and it's good, and it's encouraging. The Scripture tells us to encourage one another, and we all like to be encouraged, so that's great. We need encouragement. It's good to be encouraged, but we're not looking for that. And if we don't get the pat on the back, and if we don't get the accolade, or we don't get the thanks or whatever, that's not the issue, because I am who I am by the grace of God, not by the approval, not by the thanks, not the appreciation, but I am who I am by the grace of God. And that is why I administer the grace of God. Each one, every one of us, without exception, that's why. And so we're not dependent on that. We're not dependent on thanks or approval or accolades or whatever else. It's not part of the equation, because it's I am who I am by the grace of God. And so why do some people, though, why do they get mixed up? Because some people don't understand that all ministry is an outworking of the grace of God. And it's got to be. That's the starting point. And we're stewards of His grace, and He wants us to minister that. There's an interesting passage in Acts 14:26. And I really think this really speaks to me. Why do some people give up when it comes to the long haul? Now, there are seasons in life. And so don't get me wrong. There are seasons, and there are seasons and there are times. And so that's okay. You know, if you're doing something, doesn't mean you're doing it always necessarily for life. God might call you in one season to do one thing and another season to do something else. And that's a different thing, because that's the call of God. And you hear the voice of God, and God says, well, you're doing this, now I want you to do this. Never says, I want you to do nothing, because you're a steward of the grace. I don't want the grace to be without effect in your life. Always called you to my kingdom to be ministering the grace, but in different forms, and maybe for a season it's this way, maybe for another season, but not to be on a grace holiday. We're always stewards, always ministering the grace of God. But some people get discouraged, and they give up and lose the joy. The word's about the joy. And because you can lose the joy in serving if you're doing it because it's payback time to make up to God, or you're trying to earn something, or you want something. You're going to give up, you're going to get discouraged, you're going to stop. But if it's out of the grace of God, you're just going to keep going. And there's the joy of that. Some of the words that came this morning talking about that joy. You'll lose your joy if you get things wrong. And an interesting passage, Acts 14:26. It says, from Italia they sailed back to Antioch, where they had been committed to the grace of God for the work they now had completed. So what happens is that sometimes people get committed to the work. I'm committed to this. So I said I'm going to be here at this time, and I'm going to do this faithfully every day, and I am committed to this work. Now that's great, and that's honorable, and we all need to be faithful. We need to be trustworthy. We need to be committed to things. But if we're committed just to the work in itself is not necessarily going to sustain you for the long haul. Because if you're committed to an area of service, and I'm committed, I'm going to be there on the roster, I'm going to be here, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that, eventually you're going to find a challenge along the way. Something will happen. Or something won't happen that should happen, and something will happen, a wobbly will get thrown at you from one direction or another. And if you're just committed to the work, once this wobbly comes, whatever it is, it's something thrown your way, you might falter in that commitment. Hang on, this is not what I signed up for. This is harder than I thought it was going to be. There's challenges, there's difficulties. I never thought of that when I signed up for this, because you committed to the work. But it's interesting, so they were committed firstly to the grace of God for the work. So it's always got to start from the grace of God. When the work that they did, the ministry work they did, wasn't just being committed to the work, but they were actually committed to the grace of God, first of all, for the work. And if you miss that element about being committed to the grace of God, you, when you hit a challenge, when you hit a trouble, when you hit a problem, it's all too hard. I give up. Someone didn't smile at me when I served them the cup of tea, and now it's all over for me. Okay, you're committed to the work, but no, I'm committed to the grace of God, because I am who I am by the grace of God. And it all starts from the grace of God, and it all flows out of the grace of God, because I am a steward. We all are stewards, each and every one of us, of the grace of God. And so from this place, when there is a struggle, a difficulty, or a problem, an issue, whatever it is that comes my way, then I can come through, because I'm committed to the grace of God, and His grace is not without effect. And so when I'm going through something that maybe in itself is more than I can handle, harder than I can get through, more difficult than I can cope with, well, I'm not relying on my commitment to get me through, because I may be very committed and I may be very faithful, but my commitment ultimately is not going to carry me through some of the things that I might face. I can be very committed, but ultimately I'm going to face things. But if I'm committed firstly to the grace of God for the work, then I'm committed. I've got the grace of God. I'm a steward of the grace of God. And the grace of God is not without effect. Now, I'm working hard, but His grace is with me, and I'm going to get through this by His grace, because I can't do it. It's too hard. I feel like giving up. I feel like throwing it in. But it's the grace of God, and we always come back to the grace of God. And so we are committed to the grace of God. Don't just be committed to the work. Be committed to the grace of God. And it doesn't matter what happens, because the grace of God's not without effect. His grace with us. It'll get us through everything that we face in life and in service in every way. His grace is amazing. It is an amazing thing to say, I am who I am by the grace of God. And we can miss that grace. It says in 1 Corinthians 3:3, it says, if I give all I possess to the poor. What's a wonderful thing? Being generous and giving, a wonderful thing. And surrender my body to the flames. You know, I'm going to go out there and be martyred for Jesus. Amen. But have not love, I gain nothing. And so we can be very committed and doing all the right stuff, but if the heart issue, if we miss the grace factor in it, actually not only does it mean we're probably not going to make it longer term, we'll probably end up throwing in the towel somewhere along the way, but actually there's little benefit to us at all, as committed and faithful we are, if we miss the grace of God. It's got to flow out of the grace. Always be mindful of the fact that we are stewards of the grace of God. How are you committed to the grace of God? Well, first of all, is that intimacy. Keep the intimacy with God. That's the commitment to the grace, being committed to grace, Lord, my relationship with you. Because if that wanes down, I'll fall down out of commitment and maybe form into legalistic service, become very legalistic, very heartless in what I do. Because I'm committed to the work, but I'm not committed to the grace, and therefore I will become legalistic. And it'll affect my relationships. It'll affect so many things. So we've got to watch for that. And always be mindful of God's grace. Be mindful of that. God, I'm doing this, and Lord, I want to let your grace come through me as I do this, because I'm a steward of your grace, and that needs to be our heart and service. If we miss it, we'll end up in complaining or comparing. Oh, look at them, look at whatever. We compare ourselves, and or else we become self-reliant. We forget God in the whole thing. And then fall in a heap and wonder, oh, why is it so hard? Because we're committed to the work, but we're not committed to the grace of God for the work. It all starts in the grace of God. All ministry flows out of grace. We are stewards of His grace. It blows my mind away. I don't know if it makes anything to you, but that blows me away, that God has made me a steward of His grace. And I am who I am by the grace of God. And so we always got to remember, don't forget... Don't forget why you're working, but also don't forget who you're working for. Why do you serve? Why do you do the things you do? It's because of God. You're committed to Him. You're committed to His heart. That's why you do it. the grace of God is not without effect in our lives. We're not there. we're saved and I'm okay, Jack. It's not that. No, I'm a steward of His grace, and ministry is an outworking of that. And I encourage every one of us this morning. I just want to read that passage again. It says, this is 1 Corinthians 15, 9 and 10 again. It says, "For I am the least of the apostles and don't even deserve to be called an apostle because I persecuted the grace of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was within me." And I encourage you, let's be mindful of that place of grace. You might have done a whole lot of stuff in the past, and you weren't starting from grace. You're actually trying to get to grace or trying to get something from God, or maybe you started there and you lost sight of the fact that it's all about grace. It's we are who we are by the grace of the Lord, and all the ministry do, you are a steward of that. And just think for a moment in your own life that you now are sitting here today as a steward of the grace of God in your life, and you're saved. And what you do from this point on is not going to affect your salvation. That's secure in Jesus Christ. But will the grace of God be without effect in your life? Because it's not outworking. You're not letting that work through in your life. And I encourage you to say, "Lord, You've given me." Each one should use whatever gifts he has received. I sit here and, "Lord, I have a gift." Every one of us has a gift. "Lord, You made me a steward of Your grace. And Lord, I want to outwork that. Lord, help me to outwork that." If you need help in identifying that, well, we're doing the SHAPE course. Every second week, we're running our courses. And so next Sunday night is the SHAPE course. There's already a bunch of people. We've had the first week. But if you're not sure about that, well, then come next Sunday night to the SHAPE course. And there are other courses that are running also each alternate Sunday night. Excuse me. Let's just close with the scripture this morning, and then I want to pray for us. Ephesians 3, verses 2 and also verse 7, it says, "Surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you." So this is Paul saying, I know I'm a steward. I'm a steward of that. And Paul is saying that I'm an administrator, a steward of the grace, of God's grace that was given to me for you. "I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me for the working of His power." And this is, again, an acknowledgement of Paul that we all have a gift in God. And we've been called by His grace. And that He is a steward of God's grace, and every one of us is that. So let's stand on our feet. I want to pray for us this morning. I want us to know that you're not identified by who, by what your past was. You're no longer what you were. I am what I am by the grace of God. That is who you are. You're not a product of your past. So many people want to go back and say, "Oh, yeah, it's because of your father, it's because of your mother, it's because of your chickens, it's because of this, it's because of that." Well, you're not that anymore. I am what I am by the grace of God. That is who I am. That is what I am. And I don't deserve it, fine, but it's grace. I don't deserve any grace. That's what grace is. I don't deserve it. And because I stand in that place of grace, from a position of strength, not wanting to gain and earn or pay back, because I stand in such a strong place and I have been given as a steward, I'm now going to minister out His grace. Every one of us is called in such a way. So, Father, I just pray this day, Lord, as we stand here in Your presence, Lord, that we begin to see, Lord, that we are not what we were, but, Lord, we are what we are, and that we are standing, Lord, as ones who are sons and daughters of the living God by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, by the grace that's been poured upon our lives. Lord, we're not identified by our past, so we don't even want to identify with our past. We may acknowledge it, but it's not who we are. We are who we are because of You, Lord. And we stand in this place of grace, Lord. What an amazing thing it is, this incredible grace. Lord, we don't deserve it, but Lord, Your grace is so abundant in our lives. And Father, even as we wonder at the grace that has brought us our salvation, Lord, that was something that we could not earn, something that we could not do, but Lord, something we can just simply embrace. Lord, as we marvel at that, we marvel at the grace that You've given us, Lord, that now we stand in a place of being identified with who You say we are, Lord, what You've made us to be. And Father, I pray, let every person here, Lord, let that be strongly driven into their heart, into their spirit, Lord. I am what I am by the grace of God. And Lord, more than that, Lord, I pray that each of us, Lord, do not then just rest at the place of salvation, but Lord, we see that you've called us. Lord, that you've called us by your grace. And Lord, that even as you've established that grace in our lives, you've called us to be stewards of that grace. And Lord, I pray, help us to outwork that grace. Lord, every one of us, every person that is here has been called according to your purpose. Every person here, Lord, has been called to be a minister of your grace and to outwork that, Father. Let it not be ineffective in any lives, Father. Let us all be outworking your grace in our life and every day, Lord, in every way. Father, I pray that in Jesus' name. Lord, let that sustain us and let us be committed to your grace. And Lord, out of that commitment to your grace, Lord, let work flow. Lord, let service flow. Let honoring of you flow and giving, generosity, whatever ways, Lord. Father, as your grace enables us. And Father, I pray, Lord, for anyone that is here today, Lord, to feel that maybe they've hit a wall and maybe struggling in their life and maybe wondering whether they're going to give up or stop, Father. Lord, I pray, Lord, that they'll come back, Lord, and not just stand on their commitment to the work or the thing, but Father, it'll come back to the commitment to you and your grace. And Lord, to see your grace get through every obstacle, Lord. What we cannot do, Lord, you do, because that's grace. When we can't handle it, Lord, you help us to handle it, because that's grace. And Father, let us tap into that grace. Let's access that grace today. And Father, continue to be fruitful in our lives, Lord, fruitful in our families, but fruitful in your kingdom. So Father, I pray these things, Lord, in Jesus' name. Anyone that's been discouraged, Lord, or struggling, Lord, I pray, Lord, this day, let them know, Lord, that they stand in that place of grace. Lord, the sufficient grace that we spoke about a couple of weeks ago. And Father, I pray, Lord, let people just be the steward, a good steward of your grace. Help us, Lord, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. We're just going to worship.